Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I have someone here today that I have the greatest admiration for because I think she's in the wrong profession. She's a journalist. She should be a detective because she got stuff out of me that I don't talk to anybody about. Her name is Jane Kaufman. She's a reporter for the Eagle. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have a great session here this morning with Jane. She is, in my opinion, and of course, everybody knows this, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city hall, or the city council, and or the people riding their motorized bicycles on the sidewalks, not the bike lane. Jane Kaufman is with the Eagle. She is a magnificent reporter, in my opinion, and a lot of others. And we're going to talk today about journalism and how someone, a couple of things I want to get across, why Jane went into journalism. But also, if you're out there and you're a kiddo and you're thinking about going into journalism, what you kind of should know about, because she's great. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, I'm so pleased to introduce my guest today, Jane Kaufman from the Berkshire Eagle, a great, great reporter. Jane, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bill?
Well, I'm old, fat, and bald, but you already know that. So listen, how long have you been in journalism?
I think about 35 years.
Oh, you started when you were in high school. Oh, good. Yeah, me too. I went to school at Aristotle and Plato. What brought you into journalism? It always fascinates me. I asked Larry Parnas when he was at the Eagle, I'm another fan of Larry's as I am yours. What brought you into journalism?
I'm going to give you the most personal answer. So when I was a child, I had two fabulous parents, but my father was depressed. Mm. And one thing he had the attention for when he didn't have the attention for much else was the news. And I think I may have decided that I could get his attention by reporting news. I also have always been curious, and particularly curious about people. And I've always asked impudent questions. And as a journalist, impudent questions are the right questions to ask. So you're kind of rewarded for asking the improper questions when you're in journalism, and you have kind of a license to be curious.
Yeah, you're supposed to be, aren't you?
Exactly. It's really one of the critical things about doing the job well is to be very curious.
Yeah, I found, and for the people who don't know, Jane wrote an article on me when I was the Grand Marshal of the 4th of July parade. And Jane and Stephanie, the photographer, both of them made me look really good. Look at what they got to work with. But I found her. I've been interviewed before, and I found her interview technique, her style, very probing, I guess, and not in a negative way, but getting to the answers. Getting to me, I guess, is the would that be saying getting to the person? And the person happened to be me. And I said after she left, I said to the Polish princess there, I said she should have been a detective, not a reporter, because you really, and you do it in such a kind and concerned way. That's how I saw it.
Thank you.
And
but
this is a style you've developed over the years.
Thank you. I don't know how to talk about my style. I think it might be easier for me to respond to that by talking about my goal in doing a
Okay.
personality profile, such as I
Yeah.
did with you, which is that I really try to find something in a person that they may not recognize in themselves, or and sort of on the flip side, to find something in themselves that they can really recognize as being essential to them.
Yeah.
So that I'm always, when I'm interviewing somebody in the way that I was interviewing you, I'm always looking for that essence.
And you know, just to let the folks know, Jane, I interviewed the bishop, Bishop Byrne, and Jane sat right here during the interview, and it to me, I guess to me it was a very pleasant experience, but also a very telling experience about someone who cared about this. It wasn't just an assignment, you know. Your assignment, go talk to that fat bald guy there about you became part of this home. We both of my wife and I, we talk and good people talk about me, but then it's not always good. We talked about you in the best light, about how you came in, you blended in, and you got to the essence of me.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment. I really appreciate that. That
I'm a
is,
huge
that's
guy.
kind of what I work towards. So I really appreciate that. And I guess I would say, in a broader sense, that when I write a story, I also try to get to the essence of a story, if
Right.
beyond a personality, if I'm writing a story, obviously, about something more broad. I try to do that. So I try to get to the essence.
Now, you just did a story about the, just drew a blank, about a family in Worthington,
Tearingham, the Tearingham
Tearingham.
family.
Yeah. One, that was magnificent. Now I feel like I know those folks.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did you approach that story?
So I believe that a member of that family actually reached out to us,
Okay.
because their motivation for wanting to be, to have their story told, was to encourage others to preserve their property. The story was about the Truax and
Yes.
the, I believe it's the Fawcett family, who together, seven cousins, came together and worked out a conservation restriction and a sale of land to the National Park Service,
Right.
so that the land could be preserved in perpetuity. And that the family could still use the property for farming and
Right.
for other purposes. And they were smart enough to actually carve out a small portion of the property and not put it in restrictions, so that their future generations, if they wish to live there or build, can. So that's a
Yeah.
very smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had the opportunity to actually interview several of the cousins at the same time on a Saturday. And so I took that opportunity, and I did some phone interviews, but I also did some live in-person interviews and had a chance to actually view that incredible property. Fernside is what it's called. It's one of the oldest, or it is the oldest Shaker village in the country, and also the smallest. So it was a real amazing opportunity to see something I wouldn't have seen, and to meet people I wouldn't usually meet. They don't all live here. Some of them live out of town. And that is one of the beauties of reporting, is to actually to be able to kind of go places where generally sort of civilians aren't generally welcome, and to or kind of general like and to meet people who
Right.
not everybody meets. And you understand this, and in your current profession, you get to do this all the time, interviewing the bishop and Congressman Richie Neal,
Huh.
and who most of us don't have access to. So
And I take it very, and I know you do. You emanated this. I take this very seriously. I mean, I kid around, but to me, I started in this a long time ago, with three things. Educational, informational, and a few laughs along the way. And the other piece was that I feel because we are Pittsfield Community Radio, because we are Pittsfield Community Television, everyone in this community has a right to be on. Whether I agree with them or disagree, it doesn't make any difference. And the other guess ethos I have is I can disagree, but I will never be disagreeable. And I will not let anybody be disagreeable on this program. And I think we owe it to the public to give it our best shot. I mean, I prepared for this and I try to prepare for everyone. And only because I think it's important, especially I'm not a journalist, I'm a talk show host. You're a journalist, and in all of your stories, all of your articles are just they're an enjoyment to read. You get so much out of them. I mean, the one in Sheringham, I can visualize how beautiful that place is through your article.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, really.
Yeah. So we had a writing coach here at the Berkshire Eagle briefly about a year ago who did work very briefly with us and from Sacramento. His name is Jim Stasiowski. And he really helped me recognize that observation is one of the more important techniques and
Right.
abilities that I can utilize in my reporting. I remember writing a story about Robert Chapin Alsop, also of Sheringham. He's a 100, I think maybe 101 or 2, or now maybe even 3-year-old veteran who spoke at the at Sheringham's Memorial Day Parade last year. And I went out to interview him and was so enchanted that I decided, even though it was only a couple days later, that I wanted to go hear his speech. At the parade, because I interviewed him at home first. And when I interviewed him at home, Jim was editing that story and he said, "How come there's nothing visual in here?" And it was because I was really trying to protect Mr. Alsop and not reveal too much about him. But I
Right. Well,
realized there was plenty I could say that would reveal something about him without getting into the details that
yeah.
might not be good to reveal. So it was very interesting to have him say, "Where's your eye? That's your most effective technique is to actually your observation." And it's a very important, part of reporting is to actually just be able to observe and then to convey not every detail, but the critical detail, the one that will tell the story.
Wow. Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because in one of my past life's courses, they also taught us during an interview to be observing the nonverbals. All that goes along with that, at least in my old business. But isn't it interesting? The eye, that what an interesting comment that. To bring out when you get an assignment, how do you prepare to do the interview?
It really depends. Sometimes honestly, I don't. Sometimes I just call up the person and do the interview. It really depends. And then in some cases, if I'm doing I have done a lot of coverage regarding a couple fatal accidents, particularly the one involving the man who was working at an imprint
Yes,
interprint.
interpret.
Okay. So for that story, obviously, every time I write that story, every story I've written about regarding that, I prepare by kind of going back through what I know regarding that, because I was actually at the scene of the accident or both accidents in that case. And so that one, it's critical that I kind of keep myself refreshed on the details every time I approach that.
You are there different, and maybe this is the wrong word, and if it is, just are there different like genres? Like, I'm gonna go up to Terringham, and I'm gonna now I'm covering a fatal accident, or I'm covering a court case. Does that play into it, to what your
Yes.
reporting style?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, I work today on a business story, and that's quite different than say covering than covering an accident, or than
Right.
covering than going to court, or than covering just a real estate sale. I do a lot on real estate, or than covering a land conservation deal, or than talking about the newest invasive species, which I tend to write about. These all take very different kinds of levels of research, and
Yeah.
so they do, yes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because through my old life, I have various interviews, and for each one I took a different, not each one, that's wrong, but for each category I prepared differently, because the again, I guess the word is essence of. I was going for the essence of what I was going for, and if that makes any sense, which probably doesn't. But, so the eagle, and let me just say this: I think the world of Kevin Moran and the judge. I call him the judge. He goes, oh, he doesn't like that. But listen, they have brought that paper back, and I interviewed them when they first started, if you can believe it. My nephew lived next to the his name escapes me. He's passed. He was one of the guys.
Was
Wow.
it Bob Wilmers?
Wilmers, yeah. My nephew was right next to him. So anyhow, or did. And they said their goal was to bring it back to here, to Berkshire County, to make it a local paper again. Because I used to have to teach at the Government's Academy in Colorado. Once every couple of months, I'd go have to go out there and teach. And anyhow, the Eagle would have the same front page as the paper out in Colorado had. So, pretty much. But now, with you and the people they brought in, and I just, it's a different newspaper. It's a newspaper that my father would read cover to cover, you know.
It is such an honor to work at the Berkshire Eagle. I have worked in newspapers, as now I've told you, for about 35 years, and in the last year and a half, when I've been since I've been here, has been really the best year and a half I've had. May I
What?
tell the story of how I wasn't hired here?
Yeah, please, that would be great.
All right. Way back, I had a job at a boarding school,
Okay.
and my very first job after college. And I went to school out in the Midwest, but I came out in this direction, probably kind of following my brother,
Okay.
who lived then in Boston. And I got a job, I got an interview at the Berkshire Eagle, then in the Eagle building, on Eagle Street, the Flatiron
Yep.
building. And the managing editor was then named Frank McCarthy. And he invited me in for an interview, and I sat down at his office, and he put in front of me the little papers that I had submitted to him. And he said to me very kindly, "I only invited you in because you were a local candidate." And I could not have been less local. The only thing local about me was that I'd had a job, in upstate New York, not very far away, for a year. So it was quite generous of him to bring in a candidate he knew he wasn't going to hire. And he said, "But you don't have the reporting experience, you don't have the writing for this newspaper. And so, thank you for applying." And when I got the job in January 3rd, 2023, I felt like I was still not up to the Eagle.
Wow. Well,
Yeah, it's a real honor to be here. Most of the people here are much younger than I am, and they are so professional. It
yes.
is such a pleasure to work for Lindsay Hollenbaugh and Kevin Moran and Fred Rutberg. It is amazing. This is a great place to work. And I would encourage anyone who's thinking about changing newspaper jobs or to think about applying here. And we do have a couple openings. So,
Wow.
yeah.
Well, what I like is that they've customized it, and maybe that's a bad term, but I'm going to use it. They customized it to their audience.
Yes. Fred has talked about how how the arts were very important to him,
Yes.
and he brought
And
that, he made that a real focus. And you may not have noticed, but the Berkshire Eagle several months ago dropped the Associated Press. And if you didn't notice, it's because the focus of the paper has always been fairly local, and
yes.
we still have the New York Times and the Washington Post. But really, we realized most people read the Berkshire Eagle for the local news. And so
Yes.
putting our time, money, and effort into and space into local news makes a lot of sense. So I couldn't believe it when we dropped the Associated Press, how it didn't seem like anything changed.
No. No, and going back to Fred Rutberg, I'm a big supporter of the arts. I have them on all the time, every Colonial, Shakespeare, and if I just may put a plug in, Three Tall Women is in Stockbridge, and not Stockbridge. I'm sorry, Shakespeare. It plays that. You must see that. I mean, it's I have to tell you, I talked about it for at least 4 days, my wife and I, about the whole thing. I'm sorry, Iranian women, and the Persian women, Three Tall Persian Women. Someday I'll get my brain back. If you find it, drop it off at the front yard. But again, it's the essence of things. I could relate to what they were going through, and I just recommend you see it, because if you do see it, I would love, love, love. Well, I'll buy you a coffee. Roseanne will give me the money.
Right.
But seriously, what they've done for the arts, because before they were just a hiccup in the paper, you know, and they're a huge part of our economy.
Yes, and Jen Huberto, the features editor, deserves tons
Yes.
of credit for her amazing work in pulling all that together, because it really falls to her and to Aaron Simon Gross to do the lion's share of the work. Although we have Jeffrey Borak, and of course Clarence Fanto does his reviews, and but she really pulls it together. So
I see Jeffrey at almost a lot of the almost all of the ones we go at the same night or whatever, but I'm not a critic. I'm a theater goer. And I go, and if I don't like it, I don't say a word. Because I can't do what they do. I can't get up on a stage. And especially that stage right, stage left, center. It's all backwards, so that's why I never went into it. I could never figure out what they were saying. Go to stage left. Well, okay, so no, the other left. And Clarence Fanto, can't say enough good about the guy. I really can't. He's a stand-up guy. He's a great reporter. But they have a lot of great reporters now.
yes, Heather Bellow is incredible, and she just amazingly has such a high productivity, and also writes some of the most complex, difficult stories that we have, the most sensitive stories. Matt Martinez, the General Assignment reporter in Springfield, also does amazing work. Greg Sukenik is, keeping up with PCBs. Amanda Burke is a great court reporter, and she's
One
got
of my
such
favorites.
heart. It's amazing. Yeah, the whole staff is truly amazing. So.
And like you said, And I guess it's their ethos, their training, whatever. But they're not old. They're not, in the business 40 years. They're young and aggressive in a very positive sense. To get the story and get it right, and you can read it. I mean, I
Kevin
don't
has
want to
a
put the others down, the other newspapers, but some of them you could.
Kevin Moran has a mantra, and he says, if it's important, it has to be interesting. And that's a really, really good thing to remember. He also he has a couple other things that he says. He says he likes stories to be complete, and he also says that quotes have to earn their place in a story. Very interesting. And so these things have an impact on how we write too.
And isn't that great for younger reporters to work for somebody like Kevin Moran, who believes in this stuff and who and is a nice guy? You know,
Yes.
he's not the guy that was Washington Post that screamed at everybody, you know.
Yeah, he always puts humanity first in every conversation. And I would say that really helps. It sets a tone that is just lovely. And I've worked in like newsrooms before smoking was banned, and I could tell stories that I can't tell stories on the air about the way that newsrooms used to be. It is quite different to be here at the Eagle today.
I'll
So
tell you.
professional.
Oh yeah, I'll
So
tell you. And I owe it to this guy. He's gone. His family. His name was Ed Eddie Farrell, Edward Farrell, and he was a police reporter, police blotter reporter, whatever they call it. He was so trustworthy that on occasions we would say, if you're not busy, I would be at a certain place at a certain time, probably tonight, or swing by the station about 10 o'clock. You may have something. And that's how much credibility and integrity he had. Never once did anything ever get out. And I think of him often when I see some of the malarkey that goes on today. And how you have such integrity. How do you, what is, you don't have to answer this if you don't, what is your gut about some of the reporting today? And I just, well,
Well, I'll say this. I'll
if
say
you
this.
want, you don't have
Yeah,
to.
no, I would say this. I think it's really I think being fair and objective are the things that probably, and also being also I mean being fair and objective are incredibly important. And so and also being balanced. I mean, nobody is truly objective. We all have I mean, if we're born and we have brains, we have opinions, right? I mean, it sort of comes with the territory of being human. But it's really important to keep your opinions to yourself when you're a reporter. And for example, I've never ever had a bumper sticker on my car for anything, N not even something silly. It's just not something that I do. I don't wear my politics on my sleeve, and that's part of the deal. I wanted to say something else, and now I have forgotten it about integrity. Oh well, it'll come to me
It'll
eventually.
come back. Yeah, where do you get
Yeah.
to be my age? I forget where the car is. I have to use that little alarm, bomb, bomb, so I can fight it in the garage. But yeah, I think you said that, I've gone from being a party member to unenrolled. I'm very honest with people. I tell people I don't care who you vote for, but vote, 'cause if you don't vote, don't gripe.
Right.
That's my mantra here during the election season. You don't vote, don't gripe. And
It's important to be involved politically, I think, at least at that level for all of us. Yes.
Yeah. And it must be hard at times. I'm going for myself. Sometimes it's difficult to interview some people who are in the political sphere. Just because you know their lips are moving, but they're not always being straight up with you. I guess that's the best, you know.
Yes, it can be. It can be. I don't have a specific example in mind, and I think if I did, I probably wouldn't share it,
Oh
but
no, I don't want you
you're
to know.
totally right about that.
I got a bunch, but I'm not sharing them. We have to take a break. Please stay tuned. Jane Kaufman, excellent reporter from the Eagle, which you keep hearing about print newspapers. Everybody's gone digital, blah, blah, blah. I'm an old guy. I got a hold. Even if I read it online in the morning, because sometimes I wake up, if there's something I want, I send it down to the printer so I can read it again in the morning, when I get up, because I get up very early. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield Community Radio. And we're simulcasting on channel 1301 Spectrum Cable, Pittsfield Community Television. And that's why I try to stay focused on the community and what's going on, whether I'm involved in it or not. And Jane captures all of what's going on in Berkshire County and all. And I had an opportunity to be interviewed by her, and I have to tell you, it was amazing. And this I do this, Jane. It gets a lot of people upset. But I was told that I got my flag going the wrong way. Hey, listen, you're lucky I got remember what a flag is. But this is my flag, and it should be yours. All I ask of you, because I have friends that are buried under this flag. I have acquaintances, and I would say when you drive through the cemetery and you see all these flags over the grave, at some point in time, someone signed on that dotted line that they would die for this flag. Now, you don't have to like it. You don't have to like me. But all I would ask is please don't disrespect it. Too many people, too many times, and I don't think those times are over, have put their life on the line for this flag or given their life. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Fascinating. Jane Kaufman, wonderful, wonderful lady.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure? Coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back,
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. Yes. This lady here is, her name is Jane Kaufman, and she is a professional reporter for the Eagle. She is, I'm going to say this word, a journalist. Yep, that's what she is. And she's a good one. Jane and I met back in July, or June, actually, when she did an article on me when I was selected to be the Grand Marshal of the 4th of July parade, something that I was very humbled and still am to have been part of that whole genre that went on just for. But Jane made me look really good. And Stephanie's last name, I just drew a blank.
Zolchin.
Thank
Stephanie
you.
Zolchin.
Yeah, the photographer. She made me look good with this face. Come on. So I'm having her on. But Jane, right now in this world, if I'm a kiddo or I'm not even a kid, say I'm 25 years old and I want to change my career. And I want to, what does journalism hold for somebody? What does it take to go into journalism?
So I think, again, being curious is really helpful. Depending on which branch you want to go into, it probably helps if you can write well. Yeah. And if you are interested in radio or television, it probably helps if you can speak very well. It probably helps to know multimedia at this point. If you're young enough and savvy enough to learn a bunch of different things like radio, television, broadcast, photography, of course, writing. If you can package all of those skills, you are in a really strong position. And then, of course, understanding how to actually do reporting, interviewing, et cetera, is critical. But to me, the most important thing really is ethics. And one of the things that I find myself consistently concerned about in almost every story I write is to balance the interests of the source against the interests of the reading public, and sometimes with the interests of the editors. So I'm always thinking about those three sort of audiences.
Yeah.
They're right.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? When you are right. I have to write in solitude. I can't have a TV on and that's probably just me. But integrity and you have to be your own person.
It's true, and people do resolve those kinds of conflicts that I was just relating to you in different ways. And it's not to say that some are better than others. It's that we all make different choices. And sometimes, you know, I turn to editors to ask for their opinion about these things. And sometimes it's very clear cut. And sometimes I feel like I have the right to make my own decision. Often I do, but so.
Yeah. And you know, we talked about the people that want to go in journalism, read more.
Yes, of course. Yes, become a news junkie. I admit that I am not one, but I think it's really helpful for people who are young or interested in journalism to be news junkies and to know what's going on in the world. The other thing I want to say is, if you're really young and you can and you're thinking about being a journalist, I encourage you to write for your high school newspaper, to volunteer for a local cable access television station, so that you can. To get involved in your college radio station, to do anything you can to get quote published or on air yourself, because in this is really a trade. It is not specifically a profession, really, although it is a profession. But what I mean to say you can build your portfolio immediately without having a journalism degree, and that is what will get you your job. As I just related, I had nothing to bring to the Berkshire Eagle when I was 22. I did have some college newspaper
Right.
things, but I don't even know that I thought to include them. And if I had, maybe I would have gotten the job then. But anyway.
Well, that's what I would tell people too. Like, I just said, interestingly enough, I spent some time with a young man. I was asked by a friend that he was in a quandary about criminal justice. So they called up and they said, would you talk to him? I said, yeah, we'll do a Zoom. And his questions for a young person, senior in high school, his questions were so mature and so penetrating. And I said to him afterwards, how old are you? And, you know, he said, I'm going to be 18. And I said, really? Your questions are that of a seasoned adult. And I think when you try to help young people in career fields, you got to tell them the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, you can write a story and some editor is going to say, this is awful, or send you back.
That does happen. If you're working at the Eagle, they'll probably be very kind about it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? Well, I mean, truly. The other thing I wanted to say regarding your question about what to do if you're young is if you can get an internship.
Oh.
I know the Eagle offers internships through Williams College, but if you can get an internship even at a small local daily or particular, or even a weekly,
yeah,
or magazine, those things will help you because you will have a chance potentially to write things that will be published. Again, being published is probably the most important. The most important aspect to building a portfolio that's actually going to help get a job. So,
yeah, and I take credit. This is awful, but I'll tell you, between us and the people that are watching, I took great pride in when my first book got published. I co-authored another with another person. It really meant something to me, and you know, I've written articles for stuff, but you're right, if you want to be a writer, write and read.
Yeah, and read good journalism, read good
right.
books, read good nonfiction. People like Eric Larson, David McCullough, people who are great historians and great nonfiction writers who are good at, who are
Doris
amazing
Kearns
stories.
Doris Kearns Goodwin is one of my favorites.
Who is that? I'm sorry.
Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Okay. Yeah. People who are great storytellers are really going to help you form a voice and understand the kind of details that are make for interesting writing. So.
Do you have a favorite story or a favorite assignment, a favorite category that you like?
I don't know if I have a favorite category. I would like to talk about some of the more memorable stories that I have written. I wanted to actually start with Pan Am 103.
Okay.
I was in my first years of reporting at that point, and I covered a young victim of Pan Am 103, which was bombed over Lockerbie, Scotland.
Yes.
I believe in 1988. And the victim was my age. Her name was Wendy Lincoln, and she lived in North Adams. Her mother was a nurse, Shirley Lincoln.
Yeah.
I'll never forget going to their home, sitting at the table, seeing Wendy's room. She was a young artist, and seeing some of her artwork. I actually just looked up the fact that her collection of artwork is now at Syracuse University in their collection.
Oh, wow.
And it was really heartbreaking and kind of terrifying to see that there was somebody my age who was the victim of a terrorist yep. attack. That was, it was, it shook me. And at the same time, around the same time, I actually covered, I think, a single plane crash on Mount Greylock. So,
oh, yep.
So things that I think, these are things that I, that really stick out from my young career. I also remember another Greylock story. I was covering the town of Adams generally at the time for the transcript. And I got a chance to cover the April 3rd snowstorm of, I think it might've also been 1988 or nine. And there were people stuck at the top of Mount Greylock and hearing the stories of the innkeeper then, who yeah. was attached to the Appalachian Mountain Club, about having to pack, Bascom Lodge full of all of these campers, for a few days until they could get food up was so fascinating. I have also enjoyed interviewing through hikers on the Appalachian Trail. I have not done that lately. These are all very early stories. I would say in my current career, I actually really enjoyed interviewing you. It was really an honor. I really enjoyed interviewing Robert Chapin Alsop, which tells me that I enjoy interviewing veterans, perhaps. I also enjoy interviewing kind of quote regular people. I had a recent interview with a woman named Sophie Buck, who is the Golden Cane awardee in Savoy, and she's still working as a seamstress. That was a lot of fun. She's just a great person. So these are, I enjoy personality, you know, and I also, it was fascinating to cover things like, there have been other things that are more serious that I've found fascinating to cover, but I think the personality pieces, somehow give me the greatest joy, I would say.
And you really, as I said, you really know how to get to the essence of the person. I mean, I can speak from experience. Even my wife said, you know, boy, I didn't think you'd ever share that with anybody, you know. But I think when you see someone in like yourself who's really concerned and wants, I've had a lot of courses. They train me in a lot of different things. One of the things is to be able to assess someone. You know, is this like, hey, how's it going? You know, if you died tomorrow, they'd say, oh, he died, you know, or they throw you under the bus tomorrow. But I sense from you right away that you were trying to get the best story out of me you could. And you did. So, and tell Kevin that when they have that, I'll stop at the coffee shop and you can buy me a coffee. I think I bought at least 20 copies of that Eagle.
Okay.
I sent them all over the world. I really did, because I've been there. And it cost me more to send the thing over to South Africa than it cost to buy a year's worth of the Eagle. What stories in this, you don't have to answer, what stories don't you like to cover?
I shouldn't admit this, but I will. I'm a little conflict averse. And so when I have to cover things where people are really sort of at each other's throats, I try to remember that I really am just the messenger.
Yes.
And that it's not really my responsibility to kind of make everything okay. It's just to report the conflict.
Facts. Yep.
So that's, again, I probably could lose my job perhaps for saying that.
I'll be down. If you tell Kevin Moran, I'm going to get his mother, and his mother and I will be down there, because I'm a good friend of his mother's. So, no, but I can see that. I mean, the world today is it's just this. I don't know if it's COVID. Everybody's blaming COVID. Well, okay, but how about some of the rhetoric? You know, do we need to have this kind of rhetoric for to run for political office? Do we have to have this kind of rhetoric to communicate with people? I mean, I know families right now that are at odds with each other over the, over the elections.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's we're living in very frightening times. I mean, the fact that we have a former president with two assassination attempts in the last several weeks is frightening. And the fact that we are so divided is quite frightening. I think I don't really have anything kind of more I can say about that, but it's just, it is a very frightening time. Yeah.
You'll love this, I think. So as I told you, I was raised in a Democratic family. I mean, my mother was a first generation Irish nurse from St. Luke's. Very proud of that school of nursing, her and my aunts. So, and my father was a firefighter. Democrats, they vote every time they voted for Silk Conti, who was a Republican. But someone asked me about 6-8 months ago what I was. I said, well, I'm unenrolled. And they said, your parents, and I said, well, I was weren't you a Democrat? And I said, well, I was a Democrat, but I'm a John F. Kennedy Democrat. And here's what I was told. You ready? Oh, you're a dinosaur. Now, I'm also a lover of reading and of history. And John F. Kennedy, here's what I remember. When he was the president, there wasn't anything America or you couldn't do. In his famous quote, we are going to put a man on the moon by whatever, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And, you know, I think we've got to be realistic with kiddos and people. Life isn't a bowl of cherries. There's going to be some pits in there, and you just got to go with it and not hate somebody because they disagree with you. That's what gets me. But now I do have to say too, that the Eagle itself is so postured with great photographers, great reporters, and great management, I guess. You know, I mean, I know Kevin. I think the world of him, and always have, is. And I'm glad what you just said about what a wonderful place it is to work. That makes it even better for me.
I've worked in, I think this is my fifth, I think, newspaper. And so I think I can say that with some authority. Yes. Yeah. It really truly is the most professional environment I've worked in. The most humane, and really has the best integrity of anywhere I've worked too, which is quite amazing. Newspapers have to make money, and I've often said that newspapers should be run like no other business, but unfortunately, they often are run like every other business. But I do feel like the Berkshire Eagle is an exception. I think we really try hard for integrity at every level.
And I think some of that goes to Fred Rutberg. I can tell you, Fred Rutberg was a very well-respected jurist and a person that I believe dealt justice for the sake of justice. And justice doesn't always have to be you go to jail. You know, some people don't understand that. Listen, I have to thank you for taking the time to sit here and just respond to my silly questions, But you did it with you made them sound pretty good, really. Your responses were better than my questions. I wish you the very best. The Polish princess, she and I think the world, we look for your articles. Stay with the course, because really and truly, you are a magnificent reporter, and you bring out the best in people, and you're a good person, and I'm glad to know you.
Thank you so much, Bill. This was an honor, and the thing that I love most about reporting is the ability to meet great people, and to meet people that I wouldn't ordinarily have the opportunity to meet, and you're certainly in that first category. So thank you so much.
Thank you. We've got a couple of quick announcements, everybody. Let me just read you these. Jane, you can stay or you can go. This is the BSRCC fall run, Sunday, September the 29th at 9 a.m. It's the Berkshire Southern Regional Community Center. If you want to know more about it, call 413-528-2810, extension 33. And this one is near and dear to my heart, very near and dear to my heart. And Tor Crowder, he's a great guy. He's a great musician. And he's a friend as... Black Dog, Rev Tour Band, Whiskey Treaty, Roadshow, Mississippi, jamming for Jake. Jake was a young man killed in an Osprey crash. His mom lives in Lanesboro with Tor. They run Jake's Coffee Shop. Get up there. Right on Route 7. You can't miss it. It's terrific. Believe me when I tell you. But they're running a for Jake Gallagher. Jake was a wonderful young man. He had a 9-week-old baby and a 2-year-old, if I remember correctly, that are without their dad. So he died in that crash, and they're having this jamming for Jake, and it's October the 5th. It's 7:30 at the Colonial Theater. And if you can be there, be there. And I'm going to try to have them on more to talk about this. But for this young man, for his kiddos, and for his wife, his beautiful, young, beautiful wife, let's be there. Jane, I don't care what they say. You are a wonderful person, and I am honored to be able to call you a friend.
Thank you so much, Bill. This was really an honor. I really appreciate it. Thanks to the PCTV for people too. And this was my first TV radio appearance. So,
well, see that. Well, I'll tell you, I couldn't do it without all the people that are behind me at PCTV and WTBR.
So thank you to all of you guys. Thanks so much. It was great to see you. I will see you on the 26th on Zoom. I will send you a link.
Yeah. I'm going to send you something, an outline first.
Oh, yeah. So what I'd like to ask you about there, you know, is about interview technique.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to ask you for. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to call you. I got to go because we're out of time. I say this to everybody and to Jane. God bless. And today, try to make somebody's load just a little bit lighter. Laugh. Make somebody laugh. Remember, we're all in this together. And we better stick with each other. Because each other, bottom line, boys and girls, it's all we have. Each other. Be well, Jane. I'll be in touch. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. I'll see you soon.
Everybody, don't take this as a threat. I'll be back soon. Bye-bye.